Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome. Today's Daf is Shkolim Zayin. We are on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. Now, we learned in our Mishnah, we have some leftover funds. One has some money designated for an oila, and you have some leftover. It's meant to be directed for oila use, for further oila use, for your next carbon. You have leftover in the Shlomim fund, Moisar Shlomim L'Shlomim. If you have some leftover from your Chatos, your Asham, the halacha is, it goes L'Nadav. What does Nadav mean? You take that money and you direct it to the Beis HaMikdash where they had a container, which looks like a shofar, narrow on top, wide on bottom. You would insert the coins and they would take that money and fund the Oilois Keitz HaMizbeach. So if the Mizbeach was idle, it would purchase Oilois and put it on the Mizbeach. Now another who put together a fund for his Karbanis, let's remember another has three Karbanis that he will bring at the end of the Nazirus, a Chatos, an Oila, and a Shlomim. The loch is, if he has some left over in that fund, it is directed L'Nadava, because here there's a Chatos aspect to his fund. Part of that money is meant for Chatos use. So if he has a general fund, unspecified, meaning he didn't specify this is for my chatos, this is for the oila, etc. He just made a collective fund to fund all his karbanis, the leftovers, gold and a dove. We're going to have machlokes in the Gemara regarding moisar nazar. Whatever is left over in the nazar fund after purchasing the behemoths, the karbanis, what happens to it? Meaning, shall we say that the halacha that the moisar nazar goes on the dove is only when it's actually left over from the chatos? Or shall we say that since this collective fund initially was established also for the sake of chatos, so suppose you already purchased this chatos, it's irrelevant because the chatos aspect has already been attached to this fund. It's been established also for the sake of chatos, so even if you already purchased this chatos, now he's holding by the oil, by the shlamim. If there's any money left over, it goes l'nadava because it was already pegged, this collective fund was already labeled as somewhat of a chatas fund and goes l'nadava. So the machlek is in the Gemara. We begin on the bottom line, above and base, moisar nazar l'nadava. So left over in the nazar fund goes l'nadava, we have a machlek. So Rav Chisda amar, v'ushikarva chatasa b'seif. That is only provided he already purchases Oila, his shlamim, and the last item on his list was the chatas. Basically meaning that anything in this fund at this point is meant for chatas. He purchases chatas, and he has some left over. Says Rav Chisda, yeah, that leftover is considered moisar of chatas and goes l'nadav. Aval ikarvu shlamim basayif. But suppose you already purchased his chatas, he's holding by his shlamim, and now he has left over. Moisar shlamim. The leftovers of the money here is considered moisar shlamim. It's no longer related to chatas because you already addressed his chatas needs earlier. And the halacha of a moisar shlamim, as we learned in the Mishnah, is meant to be used for shlamim. That's what Chizah's approach. The only time we say the moisar of the nazar fund will go to nadav is when it is earmarked at this point for chatas use. But if you already used the money for the chatas, you already purchased his chatas, this fund no longer identifies itself, attributes itself to chatas, and therefore it does not have a din of meiser chatas. Amar b'zeira, no. Afilu karvu shlamim basayif. Halacha achasi ben nazar shtehiyah meiser nadava. B'zeira takes a different approach. He says, look, initially, this fund was established for what? To purchase his oila, his shlamim, and his chatas. That chatas designation reverberates throughout the entire fund. It permeates the fund. It's irrelevant of whether he already purchased his chatas and now he's holding by his shlamim. It doesn't matter. This fund was collected also for chatas. It's identified as a partial chatas fund. And therefore, anything left over in this savings account goes l'nadava, as per the halacha of Moisar Chatas. Says the Gemara Masnisa, we have a Braisa Masai Ladain which supports one Shita. Masnita, we have another Braisa Masai Ladain which supports another Shita. Masnita Masai Lerb's Ira. We have a Braisa in support of Rebbe's Ira. This fund, in its collectiveness, was already designated as a Chatas fund, and therefore it would always go in the Dava. Whatever is left at the end of the day is in the Dava. We have a Braisa which says, Eilu Hein Mois Stumin. What is described as unspecified nazir monies, which case the moisar is l'nadava, kol shadmei chatas, we delete misais, kol shadmei chatas murabis behen. Whichever fund has some money designated for chatas use, v'afilu hivrish dmei chatas mitoicha, even if you're ready, separate, who withdrew the chatas money from this pack, mois stumenin, has a loch of unspecified monies, and goes to Nadava. Since initially the establishment of the fund was for the sake of a chatas as well, it has this halacha. That's right, Reb's era. It doesn't focus on the specific monies remaining here. He focuses on the fund as a whole. It was established also for chatas. It is considered a chatas fund, and therefore Moisar al Nadava. Masnita Masai L'Rav Chizda. We have a Braisa in support of Rav Chizda who says, we look at the specific elements within this fund. If the monies left here are meant for Chatas, fine, then the leftover is Chatas and is Moisil Medava. But if the Chatas has already been separated from the pack, this fund is no longer identified and attributed with the Chatas. We have a Raya to Rav Chizda. Masnita Masai Rav Chizda Eilu L'Chatasi V'Shar L'Nizurusi Umeis. Suppose he has a collective fund for all his Karbonis Nazir, but then he specifies, he itemizes Eilu L'Chatasi. No, these monies, these coins are for my Chatas, and the rest is L'Shar Nizurusi for my other Karbonis, meaning the Oila, the Shlomim. In which case, he already separated the Chatas money from the rest Umeis, and he passes away Moelim B'Kula. Then we say, whatever's left in the pot is no longer designated for chatas use. We have oila money in there, we have shlomim money in there, but not chatas money. Now the halach is, if one benefits from oila, he was moyel. There's meila because the oila is kachi kachi meant for the mizbeach. Whereas if he has enough from a shlomim, there's no meil. Says the Braisa, if he used the entire, all the money here, or at least most of it, as Tosfos and Bechira says, then we say he was nene from oila money. Ve'ein mo'elim b'mektsasan, but if he only had a small portion of it, less than half, then there's no me'ila because we can attribute the hanah that he had to the shlomim money in his pot. The chatos was really separated. The money left behind was for oila and shlomim. If he had enough for most of it, inevitably he touched on the oil money and there's mila. But if he had only mitzas, there's no mila because perhaps it was only the shlomim money that he used. V'loy Omar imesi plu nadava. And apparently we don't say if he dies, all this money goes on the dava. Why? Apparently we're following Shitas Rav Zeira. Sorry, Shitas Rav Chizda. That once he separated the chatas monies, the rest of it is no longer identified with chatas. We treat it like oila money, like shlomi money. And we don't say imeis yiplu nadava on those monies. Okay, so let's stop for a second. We learned a piece of Gemara regarding the leftover money in the collective nazir fund, which was initially designated for chatas, oila, and shlomi. Rav Chizda says, the halacha that the leftover money is golden and dove is specifically when there's chatas money left behind. But if you already separated the chatas money from this collective fund, that halacha no longer applies. Rav Zeira says no. We look at the way this fund was initially established, and certainly it was established also for chatas. And therefore, we have one standard universal halacha. The moisar of this nazir fund goes golden and dove. Continues the Gemara. We know that a nazir brings oila, shlomim, and achatas. He brings nesachim, right, the flour, the wine, the oil, for the oila and the shlomim. And he also brings bread, two different types of breads. Amar Rav Chizda Amar, Moisar lachma shel nazir. Yurkav. Suppose there's some leftover funds, which was earmarked for the lechem purchase of bread. There's some leftover. Yurkav, you have to let it rot. Let the money just sit and spoil. There's no use for it. Why? Amar v'yosi v'yos. Correct. That's certainly the right approach. We have no other option here. La'krivoy b'fnei atzmai einat yachol. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to purchase bread and be makriv it on itself. There's no such a thing as being makriv just bread. She'ein lecha lechem karev la'atzmai. There's no bread that's brought on its own. So that option is off the table. La'krivoy im nezirus acheres einat yachol. You can't choose to purchase bread and attach it to other nazirus. Suppose another person is a nazir, he needs some bread. He can't use these funds for the other person. Because there is no nazirus without bread. That fellow, when he committed himself to nazirus, he also committed to bring his lechem, his own lechem. You can't use somebody else's lechem to exempt yourself from yichiyuv. Lefam kain, that's why tzorach meimar. You need to say, moisar lechem shel nazir yurkav, the leftover of this lechem fund just remains unused, yurkav, spoils. Savran Meimar, the Bnei Yeshiva figured, hu lachmai, hu moisen esachav. The same halacha that applied to the extra lechem applied to the leftovers of the nesachim. Suppose he has some money designated for his karbanis and for the nesachim. If you have some leftovers, you cannot use it. Yurkav, you let it spoil. Let the coins tarnish, it's unused. Says the Gemara, no. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Bar Rabbi Bun, Moisa Nesachav Kachi Kachim Inun, Vyiplun Adavam. He says the leftover of the Nesachim is regarded as Kachi Kachim, and Nesachim is a form of Kodesh Kadoshim. And therefore, Halach is. Any leftover goes on Adavam. You see, leftover Lechem, that's different because lechem is kachim kalim. We don't have a halacha that the leftovers from the kachim kalim go to nadava. But by kachim kachim we do, and therefore if there's leftover money from the sachem, it goes to nadava. Says the Gemara, Aldai te du Rabbi Yosi bar Ribun. According to this approach of Rabbi Yosi bar Ribun, let's skip the next word, Shmuel. Ali b'du Rabbi Chizda b'moisa nasachem. So according to this approach, which said that all the Rabbi Chizda told us leftover bread can't be used, but leftover nesachim can, goes on a dava. So now we're going to have a list of three manda amrim who say the same thing. Leftover, kachi, kachi, goes on a dava. We have Rav Chizda, right, as we just said. We're going to have another sheet of Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar. The wording is a bit difficult here. So according to this approach, that Rav Chizda maintains leftover kachi kachi kol nadava, we're going to add another two names to the list as well. We have Shmuel, we have Rav Chizda, so switch Rav Chizda to Rav Chizda, and we have Rabbi Lazar. Shmuel, Rabbi Chizda, Rabbi Lazar, Shloshtan, Amr Davar Echad, all three maintain the same thing. Again, that Moisar kachi kachi kol nadava. Rabbi Chizda Hadamar. That's what we just said. Leftover Nesachim goes on Dam. Shmuel, where do we find him? Damar of Yosi. Because Rabbi Yosi told us, this was yesterday, Adonat Haman, when I was there in Bavel, Shamez Kal, I heard a voice. Rabbi Yudah Shol Shmuel, we asked Shmuel, Hifrish Shikla V'meis. Suppose he designated a coin for Machzah Shekel and he passed away. Now Machzah Shekel was primarily used for Kachi Kachim, to purchase the Kabbarnas Tziba, which are mostly Kachi Kachim. Amalei, so what do you do with the coin? He said, Yiplu Nadava. So we see that Moisar Kachi Kachim goes on Nadava. Rabbi Lezer, where do we find him? Where does he say that the leftover Kachi Kachim goes on Nadava? Rabbi Lezer, Aymer, Moisar Asiris Eva Shaloi. Speaking about the Kohen Gadol, who brought a daily Minchas Chavitim, which was a Kachi Kachim, and he has some left over from his flour. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Yilichem Yama Melech. You have to put into the Yama Melech, you can't use it. Rabbi Lezer, Aymer, Yiplu Nadava. It's used for Nadava because, as we explained yesterday, Mar Menachas tells us, the Kohen Lezer, the Menachas Chavitin, is a form of Chatas, like a Kachi Kachim. And therefore we see that Kohen Lezer, Moisar, leftovers of Kachi Kachim, go to Nadava. So in conclusion, we learned that the leftover of the Lechem cannot be used because it's kachik kalim, doesn't have the halacha of an adama. Whereas by kachik kachim, any leftovers of kachik kachim, be it nesachim, be it the machzah shekel, which is unused, be it the leftover of the minchas, chavitim kohen gadol, which we call the asir seifa, it will be yiplu l'nadava used for the oilos of the ketam esbech. Continues the Mishnah, masnisan moisar shvuyim l'shvuyim. Suppose they made an appeal. They collected funds to redeem captives, a whole group of captives, and they have some leftover money in that fund. Moisar shvuyim, what do we use it for? L'shvuyim, we reserve it for other captives, for other prisoners. Since it was collected for a group of prisoners, it wasn't specific for one. Therefore, if there's any left over, you can redirect it to use it for another group of captives. Moisar shavui, however, if you collect it for a specific person, a specific prisoner, lo isar shavui. In that case, you have to use it specifically for that person. Apparently, the person is a needy fellow. So even after he's released from captivity, you give him the extra money. He was zoichen it. Let him use it for his needs. Moisa aniyim, laniyim. If they collected money for poor people, it wasn't a specific person, just a general fund for aniyim, laniyim. There's any left over, you give it to other aniyim. However, moisa ani, if it was specifically for a certain ani and is left over, loisa na ani, it needs to be given to him specifically. Moisar ha-meisim, le-meisim. If they collected for meisim in general, without specifying, is left over, use it for other meisim. Moisar ha-meis, le-yarshav. But if you collected for a specific meis, supply his needs, his kever, tachrichim, his leftover funds, you give it to his yarshim. So the concept is one and the same here. If they made a general, generic collection, for aniyim, for shvuyim, for meisim, without specifying, for who and for what, then if there's leftover money, no problem, divert it for other aniyim, for other shvuyim, for other meisim. But if there's a specific person in mind, then it's meant to go specifically to him. Whether this person, whether shavuy and released in captivity, whether an ani, who no longer needs, you collect it to purchase a specific item, a house, a car, and he has that, you still can give it to him for his other needs. Regarding a meis, a little bit more tricky. You needed a kever, and it turns out you have extra money. You can't give it to him, but you give it to his yarshim. Tanakama holds that the mace underwent a degrading experience. A zilzal he collected for the mace. He was embarrassed. Even achamisa affected him. Therefore, he wants it to be directed to his yarshim, who are an extension of him. So that's what we're meant to do with it, according to Tanakama. Rabbi Meir, Omer Moisa ha-mace, yehi munach at sheyov elio. Rabbi Meir is unsure whether the mace prefers that the monies be directed to his yarshim, or perhaps, since he was degraded by this collection, he prefers that it be used for his sake, to erect a bat seva. So we're not sure which way to go, we leave it till Yonavi comes. Rabbi Nosson Omer, he says, certainly the mace wants it to be used for his benefit, and therefore Rabbi Nosson Omer Moisa HaMace, if it's left over from the mace fund, Boinenoi Nefesh Al Kivroi, they built a nefesh, a matzeva, a monument on his kever. The reason why it's called nefesh is because the neshama of the person has different levels, and the lowest, the one that connects to this world, is called nefesh, and that remains somewhat behind. That's why we go to a kever, to daven, and the matzeva somehow perpetuates his continued existence and identity down with this world here, and therefore it's called a nefesh. Rabbi Nosson says, leftover monies are used to construct a nefesh on his kever. Says the Gemara, Govule Becheska She'enle. Suppose they collected for a mace's needs, thinking that he needs it. Vinimsa She'eshle. It turns out that he has plenty of money. So it was Becheska She'enle. He thought he doesn't have any funds set aside for his kvura needs. Vinimsa She'eshle. It turns out that he's a multi-millionaire. He doesn't need these funds. Rabbi Yirmiyah Savar Meimar, he figured, Moisra Meis Liyarshav. In this case as well, you give it to the Yarshim. The fact is, as the Rishonim explained, he went through a bizayin, you collected for him. give it to his Yerushim. Amalei Rabbi Idi de Chutra. Rabbi Idi from the town of Chutra responded to Rabbi Yirmiyah, no way. Haga'atzmacha. Look, think into this. Delekavnon elalei. When they collected these funds, what do they have in mind? This poor, destitute mace. Now, if he didn't need it, if he never needed it to begin with, then this is not what they had in mind. Return to sender. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah responded, Anolai Amrit. You know, I wasn't sure. I didn't say that. Meaning, I had a suffix. Whether it's meant to be returned to the givers or to the Yarshim. I was oscillating. I wasn't sure. At Menolach. How do you know? How are you so sure of yourself that it's not meant to go to the Yarshim? Perhaps, you know, the donors were Masiach Das already. They wanted to do something good, a mitzvah. They just, all right, keep it. We're not sure. Maybe. Maybe not. How are you so sure of yourself? Tani B'Shem Ben Asan. We learned in the Brice in the name of Rav Nosson, Moisra Meis. Yivnu Loi Nefesh Al Kivroi. If there's any leftover from the Meis fund, you build a Nefesh, a Matzeva, V'yas Loi Zilof Al Gavim Mitosai. You purchase some wine to sprinkle, Zilof, they sprinkle on the meat, on the coffin to exude a good smell. Tani, we learned in the Brice, Ein Poidin Shavi B'Shavi. You don't use monies collected for one captive for the sake of another shavi. So for instance, like this, there's a prominent person that needs to be redeemed from captivity. So they make this citywide collection, everybody's very generous, and it turns out there's really another person of lower ranking, he's a lower person, a less prominent, less chashav person. So the administrators figure, look, let's take the money that we collected and use it for the less important person. And now we'll make another collection. Rabbi Yisai, this fellow, this chashav person is in jail, we have to collect from him, and everybody will open up their hearts again. That's really a way of tricking the crowd. You don't do that. You can't take monies collected for one shavui and use it for another shavui. Vein gaven talis batalis. This is a different case. You make a collection for a poor person. We need to buy a winter coat worth $300. So everybody's generous, contribute nicely. And the truth is, they don't really need a winter coat. They only need to buy a robe for $100. The reason why they spoke about the more expensive item was to inflate the expenses, to inflate the budget, to make a stronger impact on the donor. You can't do that. That's, if not outright fraud, that's definitely misleading the oilam. Therefore, you're not meant to do that. When you go even talis, you can't collect for one type of garment, but talis with the intent of using it for something else. But we don't object, we don't protest when the parnasim, the administrators, when the parnasim do these types of things. Now the Rosh and the Tshuva seems to learn that the Brice is referring to specific cases where the parnasim figure that for the sake of the communal benefit here, we have to direct things in a certain way. For instance, he says, let's say it was a collection, and it turns out they didn't really need the money to begin with. So he says sometimes it's more costly to return the funds to the respective donors. You know, the return poaches, which will cost administrative fees, will cost more than the actual, it's not worth it. So sometimes we allow, we leave it at the discretion of the parnosim, of the administrators, and the gabayim. It's called adas gabay. You donate with the intent of leaving it up to the gabay. Do with it as you see fit, and we just leave it up to their discretion to run the public fund as they see fit, which is in the best possible public interest. So we spoke in the Mishnah about making a matzeva, which we called a nefesh. Tani, ein oisin nefashes latzadikim. We don't necessarily build a matzeva for a tzaddik. Divreya mehenein zichroinan. Their words are their memory. The Karba Eda says, "Divreim she'omrin dover halacha mishmanu." We relate halacha in their name. We quote them. Zeu zichroinan. That's their best zikar, and that's the way we perpetuate their memory. That's why they can have a continued existence down here in this world. You don't have to erect a stone monument. Learning Torah in their name is all the more important, all the more valuable. Rabbi Yochanan have a mas mechval. We're going to discuss this concept of saying over Torah, halachos, and the names of tzaddikim, which already passed away, and the importance of it. Let's start with the following story. Rabbi Yochanan who was heavy, have a masmech. V'azal, he was leaning and walking along, al on Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So he was leaning on Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and he was walking along, and he noticed Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer noticed Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was his rebbe. So Rabbi Lezer notices him. Umetamer let me come in. He hid. He avoided Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan happened to notice him. Look, my Talmud is just ignoring me. And he expressed annoyance. Va'amar, halein tarti milayu. The following two things, two offenses. Hadein bavlo, this bavli, this Rabbi Lezer from Bavel, Ovid Bey, did over here. Two things. I have two grievances. Chada, number one, to lo yishol b'shleime. He didn't say shalom aleichem. He didn't initiate a greeting to me. That's number one. V'chada, in addition to that, mitamer, he's hiding. He doesn't want to converse with me. Look what's going on. He's avoiding me. He's quite upset. Amar lei Rabbi Yaakov Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Idi sought to pacify him, to appease him. So he says, look, don't hold it against him. Kach nehigen gabhoin. This is the way they conduct themselves over there in Bavel. The Zeira, the smaller one, lo yishol b'shleimi derab, doesn't initiate a greeting, doesn't give shalom to the rabbi, to the bigger one, the one who's more chashiv. De'inu nahagun, because they are noyig, u'mekayman, and they fulfill the pasuk. Ru'unin oram v'nechbo'u, v'yishishim komu v'amadu. These youngsters saw me and they scattered, they hid. So that's the right way of being mechabit adam gadol. Just get away, don't initiate a greeting. Don't put yourself on equal footing to the Adam Gadol. This was a manner of respect. It wasn't disrespectful. So that was to address the first thing. Why didn't he say Shalom Aleichem? That's not their minhag. Amar lei. Now, he continued. He wanted to address the second grievance. Why is he hiding? So he began with, he posed a shaila. A halacha shaila to Rabbi Yechon. Amar lei. Ma'u lemebar. What is the halacha regarding passing through, passing by in front, coming in front, the Adura Tzalmit? Tzalmit was a cross, some type of a desire, to pass in front of it. What would you say? Are you meant to pass in front of it? Or to actually avoid it? So he told him, avoid it? Ignoring the tzelem actually gives it more covet. Why? Amarles, he told him, Mat, Palugle Yikar. Why are you giving covet to the Avodah Zarah by bypassing the Avodah Zarah, which indicates that, you know, I want to avoid it because I can't be mechabited properly. I can't give a gift to the Avodah Zarah. That's why I'm avoiding it. By doing so, you're showing greater honor and respect for the Avodah Zarah. Because you can't give a gift, so you're avoiding it. No, don't do that. Avar kamoi, pass right in front of him. V'same inoy, and poke at his eyes, blind him, meaning ignore it. Walk by him and actively ignore him. Don't give him the gift. So walking by him and ignoring him is actually a greater offense than bypassing it, which shows that you're a machshavit. So that was Riech's response. Amr lei. So Rabbi Yaakov responded, oh, that's exactly what I was aiming for. Yos, Rabbi Lezer of it. If so, Rabbi Lezer acted correctly. The le'over kamach, that he ignored you. He didn't pass in front of you. He went around you. Why? Says the Korban Eder, because, as we just said, he can't greet you. He can't give you Shalom Aleichem. That was their minute. So he preferred avoiding that confrontation. Walking around you, behind you, which was actually a show of greater covet. Look, because I can't greet him, I don't want to confront him. I don't want to face him. So actually, this was a show of greater covet. The fact that he walked around you and he's hiding from you is actually a greater covet. So he actually turned lemons into lemonade. Instead of Rabbi Yechon taking offense, just the opposite. You should be honored. You should look at it as a respectful expression of respect. Okay, so he addressed both things. Why not Shalom Aleichem? Out of respect, they don't greet the older one, the bigger one. Why did he hide? Because since he couldn't give me Shalom Aleichem, he didn't want to confront me, which would be a show of disrespect to see me without greeting me. Void, Rabbi Yechon continued, I have a third grievance. Void Ovid Habavlo, this Babylonian blazer, does the following as well. When he says over the halacha, he says over the Torah, my Torah, he doesn't say it in my name. He doesn't attribute it to me. And that's very important. So he was quite upset. Nichnasu lefanav Rabbi Amar Vasi. Rabbi Amar Vasi approached Rabbi Yechon. They came in and they wanted to satisfy him. They wanted to pacify him. Amrulai, they told him, we'll tell you a story which shows that it's not proper to get annoyed and upset, even when it comes to matters of Torah. Amrulai, Rabbi, kachaya masa bebeis haknesses, shel tarsiyim. The following happened in the Beis Knesset of the copper miners. Beneger, neger is a nail or some type of rod which was used to close, keep the door shut. Beneger sheyesh biroishay glustra. They had on its top a wide top. The question was whether it's considered a kli, because it can be used now for crushing olives. So could it be moved on Shabbos? Tuz machlekes shenechelku Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Lezer says it's Aser, Rabbi says it's Mutter, and the debate between them raged on to the extent that, look what happened, Achakaru Sefer Torah B'chamasan. In the heat of their debate, they actually tore apart a Sefer Torah. In those days, they would argue around the Sefer Torah. Hey, you bring a raya from this part of the Torah, from this part of the Torah, and it was a heated debate until they tore the Sefer Torah. Karu Sefer Torah? Karu Sakadaitach? Do you really think, can you contemplate that that's actually what happened? They tore a Sefer Torah? Ela Shenikru Sefer Torah. It wasn't consciously done, but it happened as a result of this heated debate of them pulling and shoving the Sefer Torah back and forth, that it got torn. Vayisham Zaken Echad, there was a Zaken there of Rabbi Yosef and Kisma Shmoy, that was his name, and he didn't like what he saw. Omar, Tmi Ali, I wonder. If at the end of the day, this very Beis HaKnesses, where there was such a intense display of anger, apparently it spilled over beyond the reasonable boundaries, if this Beis HaKnesses, which experienced this anger, we know that rage is equated to Avodah Zarah, right? Because why is a person so mad? If you would really believe that everything's from Hashem, there's no room for anger. So, chamasan, their anger, their rage, was not a good omen, not a good sign. And I won't be surprised, he says, Tmiani, I wonder if this Beis HaKnesses won't eventually turn into a desert. So that was the story there. And they were trying to give a message. Look, it's not worth it. It's not kedai to get upset even regarding things done in Beis HaMedrash. Learning related things, rage, anger is not in place. So don't be upset or blazer for not attributing his quotes to you. V'chaz Avram, Rabbi Yechon responded to this, Hachtein mechavrei. Is Rabbi Lezer here, he's mechavrei, he's one of our friends, meaning, yeah, friends, colleagues, have to be careful not to get too upset at each other. But he's a Talmud. You know, the Rambam learns in Hilchos Deos that a father to his son, a Rebbe to his Talmud, sometimes has to display, at least externally, some expression of anger. Not a true anger, not an eternal anger, but he has to express annoyance and anger at his son or his Talmud to set him straight. So yeah, friends have to be careful. They have no justification. Anger, there's no place for anger, but a Rebbe and a Talmud, this is L'Shem Shemayim, this is not true personal anger. I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm setting him straight. He's doing something wrong. He's misquoting me. He's not attributing the halacha to me. So he wasn't really satisfied. Nichnas lefan Rabbi Yaakov Ar-Idi. And he came to Rabbi Yochanan and he sought to appease him. Amar Lei, Ksiv, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Avdoi, Ki Tziva Moshe Es Yeshua. There's a pasuk in Yeshua that everything that Hashem instructed Moshe instructed Yeshua. Now what does the pasuk mean to say? Does it mean to say that everything Yeshua said, he would always say, well, this I learned from Moshe, that I learned from Moshe? He would always have to directly attribute his things to Moshe? No, that's not what the pasuk means. You think everything that Yeshua would sit and teach, he would say, Kachon Moshe? He would have to specify, this is from Moshe? No. Everybody knows. Yeshua was a Talmud of Moshe. He didn't know anything if not from Moshe. So it's naturally understood that what you're saying is from your Rabbi. Ella, rather, what does the pasuk mean? Yeshua, Yoshe v'Doyosh. Yeshua was teaching, v'yoydin ha'koil. Sha'atoyosh ha'moshi. And everybody knows that it's from Moshe. So when the pasuk speaks about Hashem teaching Moshe, and Moshe Yeshua, and Yeshua continued and taught that further, it means by default. Implicitly, we knew that. You didn't have to specify, this is from Moshe, it's self-understood. So therefore, here as well, Af Ata, you as well, Rabbi Eichlan, Eliezer Yeshiva Deirish, when Eliezer, your Talmud, teaches the Torah, everybody knows, V'akol Yoidim Sha Torah Shalchai, everybody knows, where did he get it from you? There's no need for him to explain it and stress it and implicitly mention your name. Oh, this worked. Amar Lahen. Rabbi Yechon turned to the other fellows. He says, to Rav Amar Vasi, he said, Mipnei ma einaten yoidim l'ratzis. Why don't you have the ability, the talent, to appease me, ki ben idi chavireinu, as a ben idi, our friend? So he was successful in the way he presented Rabbi Lezer as a Rabbi Yechon's Talmud, and all know that what he's saying is from you. Okay, says Gemara, but why this concern? Why is Rabbi Yechon so concerned about his name being mentioned with the Torah of his Talmud? Rabbi Yechon, my kuli hai, why to such great extent? The boy, the yemer shmait mishmei, because he wanted them to say the halacha in his name. It's very important. He wanted that his Torah should have a continuity. As the carbonator says, well, if he's not going to get into the habit of quoting me in my lifetime, certainly later on, he's not going to attribute it to me, and that's very important. When you say over Torah in the name of somebody, say it in his name, related to him, connected to him. There's really two purposes. Firstly, it adds to the authenticity and to reliability of what you're saying. You'll make sure to say it correctly, rather than just quoting things randomly without sourcing it, then you're not really accountable for it, and it's not necessarily going to be reliable and accurate. That's number one, for the accuracy. Number two, there is something there, something mystical, so to speak, about having your Torah said in your name that connects it to you, and it's as though you live on. Even after passing, the Chacham will live on down here in that world, which is very important, as we're going to see. David bikish alei rachmim. David also asked Hashem, Shenemar, agura bolcha ilamim. I want to live with you forever. Which sounds like he's going to live in Elam Haza forever. David really thinks he's going to live forever? He knew that a person's term in this world is limited. Rather, this is what David meant to ask Hashem. I want to be zeicher. That my words of Torah should be learned and related in the Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos. And it's so important that should happen. You know, the main accomplishment is done here in this world. We view Olam Haba as a place of eternal bliss, which is true, but the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Yofisha Achas. This is where it's happening. Down here, when we confront the nisyonis, we overcome the hurdles and difficulties, and we learn, and we down, we do mitzvahs. This is where it's happening. A tzaddik, even after his passing, he wants to take part in this worldly experience. He wants to contribute to what's going on in this world, which adds to his chusim. Right? When a son continues in the ways of his father, he gives his chusim to the father. His level of ilm haba increases, his madrega goes up. So David HaMelech asked Hashem, I'm asking you, please arrange so that my Torah is learned down there in that world, even after my passing. I want to take part in that experience of learning in Olam Hazeh even afterwards. So that's why it's so important to have it done properly. Shimon ben Azira, V'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. Kol Talmud Chacham she'omrim dvar halacha mipiv. Boilam hazeh. When a dvar halacha is said mipiv in his name, you're quoting the Talmud Chacham. Even after his passing, you quote him down in this world. Sfasav ruichashas imoy bekeva. His lips are ruichashas imoy. They're moving around. They're mumbling in the cave. Shenamar v'chichech ki anatoiv doivev sifse yishenim. So the lips, the sifse yishenim of the ones that are already sleeping, the ones that are passed away, are doivev. They're moving around. What's the connection between that and the wine? V'chichech ki anatoiv, says the Gemara, ma kumer shalanovim zeh, just as this container of grapes, which has wine swooshing around, kimeh shamanech adam etzboi olav. As soon as you touch it, miyad doivev, it all moves around. Avsif the same shal tzaddikim. Likewise, the lips of tzaddikim. Kiven she'imrin dvar halacha mipiem shal tzaddikim. When one quotes a halacha in the name of a tzaddik in olam hazeh, sif seisein merach sheisimon bekever. The lips move around the kever. Now, the Ein Yaakov says, "What do you mean? Generally speaking, there's no goof remaining behind after a while. Well, what does the pasuk? What does the Gemara mean that our lips are moving?" So Marsha explains that a person's body has 613 avarim, and that's only the levush. It encloses, it covers up the nefesh, the ruach, the spiritual entity, the neshama, that's empowering the guf to function. But the true existence, the true essence of a person is his spiritual realm. The neshama, the ruach, which also has 613 elements and aspects to it. So when one is living to 120 and his lips are moving, it's really the nefesh, the ruach, that's empowering those lips. That's moving the lips, that moving the lips from behind. The ruach is the one that's really active. And the end result is that the lips are moving. Says the Marsha, even after passing, where there's perhaps even no guf left, but the nefesh, in some form, still remains behind. We spoke about this earlier. We build a nefesh al kirvi, the matseva, because there's still some sort of connection between the person, the neshama, the nefesh, to this world. Something remains there in that area of the kvura. And that's what the Gemara means, says the Marsha. His lips, meaning his spiritual lips, the koyach ha-nefesh, which expresses the words of the person, which uses the lips, the physical lips, as a means, as a tool of expression. Even when there are no physical lips around, the nefesh lips are still around. It basically means the power of expression is still there. And when we relate a Torah in the name of that tzaddik is still partaking in the experience of Torah in this world, in the limud Torah in this world. And it's as though he himself is taking part and joining the conversation and the experience, and he's also expressing himself. It's as though he's learning. That's added to his account, right? It's his learning. It's attributed to him. So that's what the Gemara means. His lips are moving mekever. He's expressing himself together in this experience while we learn Torah in his name. Ma no loy. What benefit? How do we describe the hanoh that the tzaddik has when we learn Torah in his name? Bar nazir amar kadein deshasi kunditin. It's like a person drinking sweetened, seasoned wine. That's the hanoh. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Kadein Deshasi Chamer Atek. Like when a person drinks aged wine, so the flavor is so powerful and lingers in one's mouth even after the fact. Afgav Deshasi, even after he drank it, Tama B'Puma, the taste remains behind. And that's how we describe the hanoh that the tzaddik has when the Torah is related in his name. Continues the Gemara, Rav Gidl Amar. Ha'imer Shmo B'Shem Omer. If one says over Torah, he quotes somebody. Yira balashmua kilo oimed lenegla. He should envision, he should visualize in his mind the author of that halacha. Why? This will make it more serious when he sees the person in his mind's eye. Then he's connected to the source. He will say it over more accurately, and as the Karban Eda says, that's the ikar way of learning by noticing the Rebbe. He says the pasuk brings the pasuk. You should visualize. You should see the Rebbe. So even though the Rebbe is no longer alive, visualize him. You should picture him in his mind when you say over Torah in his name. Shenamar achi b'tzelam yisalachish. Tzelam is a form. You should see the person whose Torah you are relating. Ksiv Rav Adam, Rav Adam Yikra Ish Chasdom. Most people just say over the Chesed, Torah is Chesed, they say over the Torah. And not necessarily do they attribute it to the source, do they say it B'Shem Oimri. Zeh Shar Kal Adam, that's describing most people. V'ish Emunim Emiyimtza, but a reliable person. How could you find it? It's one in a million. Zeh Rabbi Zeira, it's describing Rabbi Zeira because he was an example of this type of thing, a person who's makpit to always quote the source as well. He would verify the accuracy and the reliability of the things that he would say over. Everything was exact, accurate, and reliable. As we find in the following Gemara, Adam Rab Zira, Les non tzrichan chashashan. We don't have to worry about the accuracy. We can rely on the halachos, lishmaite, the halachos, the Rav Sheshes, that Rav Sheshes related. Why? That will gav from a patra, because Rav Sheshes is the person whose heart is open. He has immense intellectual capability. He's a reliable person. He has a lev rochav, and we can rely on what he tells us. So we see that Rabbi Zeira was very makpid, who he related Torah from, who he quoted, who he relied on. Amalei Rabbi Zeira lebrasi. Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Asi. It's another example of the same concept. He asked Rabbi Asi, Chakim Rebbe. Rabbi Asi was called Rebbe. Rebbe, are you familiar? Lebarpasya, with Barpasya, that he's a reliable person. You know, he says over Torah, couldn't rely on him. That Amar Shmatim Shmei, that you say over Torah in his name, is he a reliable fellow, and that's why you quote him? Amar Lei. So Rabbi Asi responded, yeah. Rabbi Yechon Amar Shmei, Rabbi Yechon quotes in his name, so apparently he's a reliable person. Amar Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Asi. Chakim Rabbi Lerav, do you personally know Rav? Do you rely on him? That Amar Shmaitz Mishmei, which explains why you quote him? Amalei says, yeah, Rav Adabar Ava, Amar Mishmei, Rav Adabar Ava quotes him, and apparently he's a reliable source. In any case, we see that quoting the Torah in the person's name adds reliability, it adds accountability, and actually it's a schus for the person, even after his passing, to have the Torah said in his name. Ein Dor She'ein Bo Litzonin K'dor Shel David. There was no generation which had greater, bigger mockers, leitzonim, than the Dor of David. Mahoyu prutzei hador oisin. What would the prutzei hador, the scoundrels in the time of David do? Hayoychen etzel chalon oisin shal David. They would approach the windows of David. And they would announce, "Oinu loy, David, David, ema soye bana beis hamikdash." They knew that Hashem already told David HaMelech, "You won't build a beis hamikdash. Rather, Shlomi, your son, will build," because David was involved in war. So they would announce as follows. David, do you, by any chance, know the estimated project completion date? When would Beis HaMikdash be built? When will we have the opportunity to go to Beis HaShem? So they would taunt him in this manner. For you, David, Omer, and David would respond, would think to himself, even though their intent is to anger me and to insult me, I don't care. I will swallow all insults. B'simcha, Yava Eli, this is a lashon of Shvu, I promise, Im lo yisi sumech b'divrim, I wasn't happy when I heard their words. I accepted their insults with love and with simcha. T'chsiv, sumachti b'amrim li, Beis Hashem Neilach. When they would say, Beis Hashem Neilach, we want to go up to Hashem's house, I was happy when they said it. It was makabal, the insults, with Ava. The pasuk says, V'hoyo kim yimlu yamecha. This is Hashem speaking to David, when your days will be filled, you'll pass away. Hashem tells David like this, I'm going to count full days for you. I'm not missing days. I'm going to give you your full allotment of life in this world. Despite the fact that as long as you're alive, it's going to hamper and prevent the building of Beis HaMikdash. I don't care. Why? It's more important to have you around than the Beis HaMikdash. Klum Shlomi Bincha, Yivna Beis HaMikdash. Why is Shlomi your son going to be the Beis HaMikdash? Alakir Kabbanah Sibur. It's for the sake of being Makir Kabbanah Sibur. Now, what's the point of a carbon? It's a kapara, to atone after something was done wrong. Well, you're involved in prevention. Prevention is the best medicine. Chaviv Alay Tzedakah Mishpat Sha'at Oisah. it is chavim is dear to me, more dear to me. The tzedakah, the mishpati, tzedakah, the righteousness that you do by conducting, by running the community, the Kol Yisrael with emes and mishpat and make sure everything is done properly and avoiding all types of pitfalls and lack of honesty, etc. All these things you are ensuring. And that's better. Yoyser min ha-karbon. Better than a carbon which is coming after. Comes after the thing was done wrong. So what you're involved in is better. Stands higher than what Shlomo is going to do. Shenemar asoy tzedaka mishpat. Doing tzedaka mishpat is nifchar l'Hashem mizevach. Is better to Hashem than a carbon. Says the Mishnah, b'shlesha prokim b'shona terminus alishka. 3 times a year, they would separate, they would do terminus alishka, they would separate some funds from the alishka. This was the room where all the machzis ha-shekel coins were brought. 3 times a year, they would take out some of the coins and direct them to fund the karbanas tzibur. The phrase ha-pesach, phrase is half of the 30-day zman ha-chana before Pesach, so basically 15 days before Pesach, that was the first installment, before Yisrael Tzeres, 15 days before Shavuos, before Yisrael Chag, 15 days before Sukkot. So 3 times a year. V'im grona shamasa behem. Actually, these three periods corresponded to the 3 seasons of masa behem. Halach is there. You have new animals born. Any animals born that year need to undergo the process of masa behem. So you take 1 out of 10, that's a carbon. Now, technically, you can eat the animals before you do the Masa Behema. But the general practice was to wait around until they do the mitzvah. And the Chacham established 3 separate times, 3 separate seasons for the Masa Behema. Meaning that whatever was born until that period is meant to be bunched together. That group will have its Masa Behema then. Fine, take the Masa Behema and you eat it. Then come the next season, whatever was born in between the first and second season, first and second dates, that's considered its own group. You do Masa Behema there, and same thing with the third group. So these 3 periods corresponded to the days of a Tumas Halishka, 15 days before Pesach, before Shavuos, and before Sukkot. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Benazo Emer, Be'esrim B'Tisha B'Adar. Instead of speaking about 15 days before Nisan, let's be specific, 29th of Adar, because he held the Adar was generally a 29-day month. 15 days before Pesach was the 29th of Adar. U'Be'echad B'Sivan. And the third one was on the 29th of Av. Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon, Imrim, Be'echad ben Nisan. The first one was on the first day of Nisan, like the Tanakama, 2 weeks before Pesach. Be'echad ben Sivan. In this way, he holds like Rav ben Azai, closer to Shavuos. And the third one was 2 weeks before Sukkot. But let's be more specific. Be'chav tes be'elo. And that was the day. Why? Why do they describe it as the 29th of El rather than the first day of Tishrei, which is 2 weeks before Sukkot? Technical problem there. Make sure Yomtiv. It's Rosh Hashanah. V'ef shel asa b'yomtiv. You can't do masa b'hem on Yomtiv. You have to color the animal with the red paint. So l'fichach hikdemu b'chavtes be'el. That's why we advanced it a day to chavtes be'el. So according to Tanakama, the 3 seasons are as follows: 2 weeks before Pesach, before Shavuos and before Sukkot, according to Ben Azai. He describes it as the 29th of Adar. The next one was the first of Sivan, closer to Shavuos, and the 29th of Av. According to Elazar Shimon, the first day of Nisan, first day of Sivan, and the last day of El. Amar Avo, Kol Hein de Tanina Pras. Whenever we use the term Pras in Gemara, it means Palga, half. Half of what? Palga de Lamed Yoyim. When we speak about Pras, Prois HaPesach, it's half of that 30-day period before Yom Tov, in which you engage in the halachas of Yom Tov, as the preparatory period. Palgad lamed yoyim kaidem lamoid shadoshim bil chaysav. 30-day time period where you are doshed halachas Pesach. So when the Tanakhama says preis hatzeres, he means halfway through that period, basically 2 weeks before, 15 days before Pesach. Vein granis, and these are the dates for the periods for Masa Behem. Why? Because these 3 times correspond to the animals giving birth. 3 different seasons throughout the year, as the Mefarshim explained. The earlier animals give birth earlier in the season, in the year, and then we have later ones, and later ones. That's what the Chacham instituted 3 different times for Masa Behema, which corresponds to the animals born during that respective season. Rav Acha, Rav Tanchum, Bar Chia, said in the name of B'Shem Shumah Levi, that the Chachamim instituted these times for Masa Behema in close proximity to the Yomim Tovim. So that when they take off Masa, now they'll eat the rest, so you have enough supplied for the other regular for Yom Tov. That's why it was done in close proximity to Yom Tov. Another reason, so that we don't come to the Isra about the Acher. If you have a carbon, you delay bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, there's a lav. That's why better have the Masa Behema done next to the Yom Tovim, which will keep you mindful of the need to bring up to your Shalayim when you eat a regal. This will avoid the Isra Bata Acher. So you have three reasons for the prakim of Masa Behem. Om Rabbi Yisro, kol ha-masha tivloi oibim v'balta acher. If one has tevel, whether it's produce, whether a herd of animals, and he neglects to address the Masa needs, he doesn't separate Masa Behem, and three Yom Tovim pass, he has committed the lav of Balta Acher. Okay, time for Rif Chazarov, today's daf. We learned that the leftover monies in the Nazar fund, Golden Adava, the leftover Kachi Kachim, Golden Adava, if there was a collection for the sake of Shvuyim or Arniyim, and there's some leftover money, you direct it to other Shvuyim, other Arniyim. If it was collected for a specific person, then it goes to his needs. We learned about attributing Halachas and Torah in the name of the source, B'Shem Omroi, and regarding the three seasons for Masa Behema. Hatzlacha Rabbah.